Campaigning Gran takes knife crime message to jails. Malden knife crime campaigner Julie Taylor is now taking her message directly to convicted prisoners. She has started visiting jails to talk directly to those convicted of knife crime violence. It is the latest venture on behalf of her killed grandson, following school talks and bleed kit activities. The 58-year-old said, "I go into these places as a victim of the result of knife crime. They have to know that what they have done will affect their victims' families forever. It will never end. I tell them that every crime has knock-on effects, and I tell them how it has, and still does, affect my family, Liam's family. I tell them about driving to the scene when I first heard my grandson had been attacked, when no one could tell me anything. I tell them how I knew something terrible had happened as I was ushered away. I didn't know he was dead. I didn't know he had been murdered. But then, afterwards, I knew all of these things." Liam Taylor died after being stabbed in a village near Chelmsford in January 2020. Mrs. Taylor started by campaigning to have emergency life-saving bleed kits installed in pubs and clubs across East Anglia and London, for which she raised more than £35,000. She made her first prison visit to the privately run Category B jail, HMP Thameside, in London, encouraged to do so by other campaigners. There she shared the story of her grandson's murder with a room full of prisoners, recounting personal and sometimes graphic details of his death and the aftermath. "I could see I'd hit a spot with them, and from that moment I knew this was something I had to do," she recalls. Secondly, she was invited to visit Swinthorn Hall, a Category C men's prison and young offender institution near Lichfield, Staffordshire. She spoke to two groups of prisoners, and every one of them was in jail for either knife crime or murder involving a knife, she says. Mrs. Taylor describes to the prisoners the trauma of having to identify her beloved grandson's body, and how, a long time afterwards, we sat with him in the Chapel of Rest and held his hand, she says. Of course, this was after the post-mortem, and I didn't realise what I was going to see when I looked at him after the autopsy. I remember sitting with him and saying to him, "What's happened, Fishy?" But of course, he couldn't answer. When I explained this to these young men in jail, I could tell that really got to them. The people I speak to need to know that the families and their victims will never, ever be the same. I'm not sure they really think about it. Most are probably just getting on with their lives, albeit behind bars. One thing she did notice was that the inmates did not make eye contact with her. "I don't remember anyone looking me in the eye, although afterwards one young man came up to me and whispered, 'Stay strong,'" she remembers. Her work has not been in vain. A member of staff at HMP Swinthorn Hall wrote to her shortly afterwards, praising her bravery and resilience. The letter also mentioned that while some prisoners could be hard to reach, she had managed to break down barriers and create an atmosphere where she had where many felt more able to engage and to be open and honest. One of a number of letters written afterwards by prisoners themselves thanked her for helping me on my journey and urged her to keep on fighting through the darkness. She is not paid for the talks and workshops, apart from occasional travel expenses. She is also never sure whether she might, in a prison, come face to face with one of her grandson's murderers. She says it won't put her off. "I feel I have a calling to do prison work," she says. "I know it is too late for their victims, as these men have already done the crime. But we need to stop them doing it again." And when they're released? Well, hopefully something I say can stop them killing again.